1 Samuel chapter 25. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Really, I'm going to refer to this chapter. I just got to get you started on it. But 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number, I'll read verse 1 and you read verse 2 with me. 1 Samuel chapter 25 and verse number 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And then I'll read verse 7. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers, now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. And let's pray. Father, thank you once again for a wonderful day with your people. Lord, as we open your word, please speak to our hearts tonight. And then, Lord, open our eyes. Let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. And Father, please teach us because we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning's lesson was on offenses and nothing shall offend them. The word offend and offenses and offended is in the Bible 73 times from Old and New Testament altogether. It's a big topic. And what you start learning is very few people leave a church because of doctrinal differences. Very few. There are churches that go bad, and when the church goes bad, you need to leave, and that has happened. But most of the time when people leave churches, it's 98% of the time, it's always because of an offense. It's never a doctrinal issue. You say, well, it should be. And many, sometimes when the offense happens, they'll try to turn it into a doctrinal offense because they know they shouldn't be offended. But they got to, you got to somehow, you know. But anyways, if you can learn about offenses and properly handling offenses, you'll be able to stay in church. Ask the old-timers that have been in church for a long time. Ask your brother Wilkins, how many times have you been offended? But if I was to ask him, how many times have you been offended since you've been in church by somebody? He's probably lost count. Ask your brother Bernie, how many times have you been offended since you've been in church and you had to deal with it and you got over it? He's probably lost count. If you can learn to deal with this subject, you'll be able, much more apt to stay in church. Here we got the story this morning. We learned about Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And probably one of the more famous verses in Psalm 119, we learned that the word offend or offense means to hit your foot against and to stumble, to trip or make a false step. The word offend literally means a stumbling block. But it goes further than that. It comes from a word that means scandal, which means if you get offended and you don't handle it right, you will scandalize and harm yourself. The word offend goes this far. It is something that can cause you to fall and bring about your ruin. When you get offended, if you don't handle it right, it can destroy you. And many people, it has in the past. To look at an Old Testament picture. There's several, but one of the pictures where the word offend is used is here in the story of David. And we read, look at verse number 3. It says, now the name of the man was Nabal. The word Nabal means fool. It means fool. You know, there's several names you never want to name your kid. You know, Judas, Nero. People name their dogs, you know, Nero. And Nabal. You never want to name your kid Nabal. Amen? But the word Nabal means fool. And he was someone who couldn't be reasoned with because of his totally selfish and ingratitude attitude. He was ungrateful and very selfish person. The story goes like this. He's shearing his sheep, and David sends 10 men to watch over Nabal's sheep shearers. And David's 10 men protect these men that are shearing the sheep. Then David tells the men, when they're done shearing the sheep, go tell Nabal, hey, we're with David, and we were here to protect your sheep. And Nabal, in his selfishness, responds this way. Look at verse number 9. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. Notice Nabal's response in verse 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. He said, you're just a bunch of runaway slaves. Nabal does not reply the way King David hopes he would. And then notice verse number 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So in other words, he's like, who's David? I don't care about David, nor am I giving anything of mine to anybody. Notice what the servant said. Verse 12. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. This offends David. We'll see this here in just a second. What? My men watch his people and protect them and help them for I don't know how many days, and he's not willing to do anything for us? David is offended, and he said, put your swords on. We're going to go kill all of them. He says, put your sword on. Keep on reading here. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. Notice verse 15. This is how David treated the people that he was watching. This is their report. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missing we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Notice verse 16. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. In other words, David's 10 men were very good to Nabal and his people. And the servants were like, those are wonderful men to help. They protected us at night. And it was just, their report is glowing. David's men did right. They did what they were supposed to. Abigail finds out, and look at verse number 17. Notice what the servants say about the master Nabal. Now therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, because he's talking to Abigail, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. Notice, this is what the servant is saying about his boss. For he is such a son of Belial. Belial is a word for nothing or Satan in your Bible. He's saying, Abigail, you know your husband is such a monster, a son of Satan. What a name. And then he says that a man cannot speak to him. He knows Nabal is a hard, selfish, ungrateful man. Notice verse number 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves. And so she gathers these items, puts them on a donkey, and takes them to David as a peace offering and says, please, please. Notice her words, how she, I'm glad many women don't talk about their husband this way, but skip down to verse 21. Now David said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertaineth to him by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. David said, I'm going to kill everybody. Look at verse number 23. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Notice verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, my husband is a son of Belial. For as his name is, so is he. What's the name Nabal mean? Fool. My husband is a fool. Wow. And folly is, Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. And she pleads for David, please, you've done right. If you listen to what Abigail is saying, she's saying, would you please consider the source? Please consider the source of your hurt. He's not worth it. He treats everybody this way. He's a nasty individual. And Abigail is saying, please don't hurt yourself. Because later on, look at verse number 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, and here's the word, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. She's saying, please don't do so. Abigail is pleading with David. He's got 400 men with him. They're all getting ready to wipe out the whole farm. And Abigail says, you're about to do something that you're going to regret for the rest of your life because you're offended. What a statement. Please don't do this to where you, this is something you'll regret for the rest of your life. God points out to us that he's offended. And that lets me know this. Whenever you get offended, like David, you're always on the verge of making one of the biggest mistakes of your life. It would help. Everybody doesn't have an Abigail like David did. And she ends up, we all know the rest of the story. I'll show you. Nabal dies. And she marries, and David takes Abigail to him for wife. This is a good woman. But she is saying, everybody needs an Abigail to say, would you please consider who hurt you? This person is known for that. What did you expect? They deal with everybody this way. They didn't just hurt you. He mistreats everybody. Nobody can talk to him. You see what she's saying? She's saying, please consider one way you help somebody that's offended, because it's always over something that was said. It's always over somebody's mouth. One way you help somebody is you say, have you looked at the type of person they are? My wife was criticized a couple years ago, and we were talking about it, and she was hurt over it. And one thing my wife will tell you, I tell her, hun, that particular person, they hurt everybody. They're known for that. They're just negative critics. That was a couple years ago. And my wife always tells me, it helps me for me to remind her. And watch this. Then sometimes, I've been hurt before. It helps to hear the words. Have you considered who hurt you? You aren't the only one that they've hurt. You understand? They have a bloody track record. They're known for that. It helps when somebody says, could you expect anything less? It helps for us to be reminded. Abigail teaches us, she's seeing David, please don't kill. You kill everybody in that farm, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. You're about to make a grave mistake. Notice this, look at verse 32 and look at King David's response and watch this. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice. And blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. Watch, for in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee. except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me. Bottom line is, Abigail defused David. He's getting ready to kill everybody. And it took an Abigail to say, I know you're offended. I know you're hurt. You've been mistreated. But would you please calm down and rethink, back up and look at it, and don't go forward with what you're getting ready to do. Rest of the story is, look at verse 36. Look at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of the king. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Look at verse 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. Nabal died a nasty death because he was a nasty person. Look at the next verse. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal. Nabal is one of those people in the Bible that just is a picture of a selfish, ungrateful, can't talk to anybody, thinks everybody's a criminal, steps on anybody he can, but man of great wealth, but God killed him. God killed him. Now, David is grateful that Abigail kept him from doing something out of bitterness and hatred that he would regret for the rest of his life. Take your Bible and go to John 16. Now that we've seen a story in the Old Testament, I wish everybody had an Abigail. I wish everybody, when we get offended, I wish we had somebody that we could go to. But I am trying to give you a way of thinking. It would help if you would, number one, remember the person. Look, Jesus tried to prepare us. And what we're going to see in John 16 is Jesus tried to prepare us for offenses. He tried, before he left this earth, he was trying to tell us, I'm trying to prepare you as a Christian. You're going to get offended. I need you to handle it. I need you to watch this. Look at John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Jesus is telling them. He's trying to prepare us as his children. It's going to get harsh. The first 300 years of Christianity is called the heroic years. That's where they were being gathered up and put into the Colosseum and fed to the lions and burned on pillars and stakes, and the government was coming after them. And Jesus, before he leaves for heaven, he says, I'm trying to tell you, they're going to hate you and kill you. Don't get offended. Well, death is the worst thing that could happen. Remember what I tell you, death is not the worst thing that can happen to anybody. Dying without Christ is the worst thing that could happen to somebody, because that's eternal. But death is not the worst thing that can happen to somebody. Now, I'm not looking to die, nor am I suicidal, but a Christian's attitude towards death is supposed to be different than the world's, right? To them, you're right. It's the worst thing that could happen. But for us, doesn't it say in Philippians, to die is gain. And to depart and be with Christ is far better. But we don't think of it that way. But Jesus is trying to say, they're going to put you to death. Don't get offended. Look at the next verse. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. When people don't want to hear about the gospel, don't get offended. When people don't like church, don't get offended. Be thankful for those that come to church. Amen. But Jesus is saying, everybody is not going to love you. Don't get offended. You're doing right. They're doing wrong. Don't get offended. Don't change. Don't let it become a stumbling block to you. So John 16:33, Jesus said, that in me ye might have peace. Notice the promise, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So this morning, I shared with you Luke 17:1. Jesus told us it's impossible that offenses will come. You can't avoid, it's just part of life. we're going to get offended. There's no such thing as somebody that's not been hurt by somebody else, and there's no such thing as somebody you haven't hurt. You've hurt at least one person in your lifetime. It's impossible that that would be different. It's going to happen. Therefore, David, think about it. David did right. He protected the man's sheep shearers. He was treated wrongly, and he was offended because of how he was treated. Take your Bible now and go to Matthew 11. Did you know Jesus did right, and he treated people right, and he preached right, and people still got offended? Matthew chapter 11, look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 5. Ready? Jesus said here, he's talking to the disciples of John, tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John was depressed because Jesus didn't come and deliver him from getting his head cut off. His head hasn't been cut off yet, but it's getting ready to roll. And I'm sure John the Baptist is thinking, I'm the cousin of Jesus. I'm the one that preaches before, prepare ye the way. Don't worry, Jesus is coming for me any moment, and Jesus never came. The only footsteps John heard were the footsteps of the executioner coming down the hallway to take his head off. And John's in depression in Matthew chapter 11, and he says, ask Jesus, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? This is the same person that in John chapter 1 was preaching. Just 3 months ago, John the Baptist was preaching, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Bottom line is John's depressed right before his death, and Jesus said, blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. Here's one application of the scripture. Jesus did right, and he treated people right, and people still got offended. Did you know that if I look at verse number 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me? Did you know a Christian is supposed to be hard to offend? There's only two types of people. There's the type of people that it's like, whoa, you got to be careful around them. Be careful what you say. They're a short fuse. They could go off at any moment. Then there's other people. They have what? Rhinoceros skin. And that doesn't mean you go step on them and wipe your shoes on them and stuff like that as you walk by, but they're better than Timex. They can take a licking and they keep on ticking. As a Christian, something that I should work at is Jesus said, if you'll make it, it should be hard to offend you. Many people, the first time something's said, their mind goes right to the negative. I know what you meant by that. Normally, I meant what I said. And I didn't mean anything else than what I said. Well, no, but I know what you meant. Well, I think you know more than I do. But they're so negative, they're so easily offended, the moment a statement is made, their mind goes right to the negative. As a child of God, read it again. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. If you can work at, in other words, how about this? Let me pull this truth from the scripture. When do people get the benefit of the doubt with you? 1 Corinthians 13, charity or love in action towards another Christian, only a Christian can give another Christian charity. Charity does what? Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. The first thing, if I love you, then my mind doesn't go to the negative if you say something. That might, well, what'd they say that for? Well, how about if I love you, giving you the benefit of the doubt and hoping you meant the best? And we're all going to make mistakes. I understand that. But everybody, the truth is this. You should be hard to offend. I don't want to be known as somebody, boy, what mood is pastor in today? Did he come to church? Here, call Mrs. Nash and see if he got up on the right side of the bed. I don't really want preacher, I don't want tonight's message being about me. You know, and I can go on and on, but I'm just saying, I don't want to be that type of a person. I don't want to be the vindictive, I know what you meant, I'll get you. Christian, you should be hard to offend. Somebody came up to me, I think a couple of months ago, and they said, I just want you to know I'm sorry about this one thing I said. And I always joke and I always go, well, you can tell I've lost a lot of sleep over it. Finally, I can sleep tonight. And I'm trying to say, no problem. I didn't think anything of it. It's okay. Christian, I hope there's other godly examples you can have in your life to where you can say, you know what? I don't have to fly off the handle. I can give you the benefit of the doubt. You should be hard to offend as a child of God. Blessed is he. Take your Bible and go to Matthew. You're in 11. Look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. Just want to drive one more thing home here. Watch this. On offenses and understanding being offended. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is preaching here. Verse number 7. Matthew 15, verse number 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Notice verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? How do you hear God Almighty preach the word of God, the living truth, the everlasting word, preach his word, and yet take offense to it? I'm just trying to tell you, Jesus was the truth who preached truth and treated people right, and people were still offended at him. There's always going to be people who take offense to the truth, just like they were in Jesus' day. I've had people get offended with me, with my preaching. And it wasn't because I was preaching heresy or false doctrine. I was preaching down at the Chicago Rescue Mission one time, and I said, some of you men, got 300 men there, right? Before they go downstairs and eat, they got to hear preaching. So they said, would you preach? I said, yeah, let's have a ball. And I preached on shameful, slothful sluggard, okay? To all these street guys, you know? And I said, and so I was up there and I said, some of you men, you're so stinking lazy. If your digestion process wasn't involuntary, you'd starve to death. You know why your wife hates you? Because you're lazy. That's why. She has to carry your name. No wonder your wife left you. So I'm just ripping along. I mean, I'm reading verses and hollering, and man, this thing is just smoking. Got a couple of guys walking out and running out, and after the message, one of the cooks came up to me and he goes, "What did you preach?" And I said, "Just on laziness." I said, "We just did a Bible study. That's all." The cook came up. He said, "They're rioting downstairs. They're throwing food. Nobody's eating." And I said, "I better get out of here." I walked outside, and the two men that were with me, and there were six guys waiting for me, and they said, "You called me lazy in there. What kind of preacher are you?" And I said, "I'm a Baptist preacher. I'm a Bible preacher." He said, "We're gonna cut you, man." And I just, I don't know. Sometimes it's the Marine in me. But I just said, "Look, handle it. Why don't you get a job?" Then I walked away like this. The guy, he didn't do anything. He just ended up. I just let him do that and got in the car and we drove off. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. Every message I preach isn't that caustic. They told me I only had 20 minutes. So you got to say a lot in 20 minutes. So just condense it all and give them the nutshell. You're lazy. The reason I'm telling you that is people get offended when you do speak truth. It's going to happen. Jesus told us that. When you say things like women shouldn't murder their unborn children by abortion, that's going to upset people. When you tell people men should marry women and women should marry men, when you tell people sex outside of marriage is wrong, when you tell people to properly discipline your children, timeouts don't work. If you're going to properly discipline your children, it takes spanking. Period. You have to do it God's way. There is no other way. And definitely don't put them on drugs, but that's our society's different. That's going to upset people. When you tell people socialism is a violation of biblical principles, God is against socialism. I could go through a whole bunch of statements. I'm just trying to tell you, just like they got offended at Jesus, the truth, who told them truth, they're going to get upset at you too, Christian. Jesus tried to prepare us for that. I am not trying to offend. I try not to offend. You say, well, what'd you preach a message like that before? Look, they had me preach one other time there at the mission, 300 men, and they said, would you preach? And I said, sure, I know what I'm going to preach, John 3:16. God so loved the world. And I preached on the love of God to 300 men for 20 minutes. God loves you. Oh, God loves you. It's so good. And I mean, I just went on about the love of God. Nobody moved. Guys are falling asleep like this. I was like, what? So next time they asked me to preach, they said, bless God, if we can't have revival, let's just have a riot then. I'm going to get a response somehow, some way. Amen. I don't treat every servant that way, but, well, we had a riot. So I am saying, be careful. I do really try not to offend. When we hit issues that I know have the potential to offend in our church, I always try to teach on them first before I preach. I try to teach hard truths like nobody knows what I'm talking about because I don't want to offend. I'm really working at it. I work at not offending. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says this, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. I want to be a good testimony where I go. I try not to be one more reason someone hates God. Amen? They're going to hate God. Those that are going to hate Him, going to hate Him. I try not to be one more reason why they should. But I also know with some people it's unavoidable. Can you take your Bible and go to Romans 14? Watch this. Here's something else about offenses and being offended. I should be hard to offend. I should try not to offend people. But here's something God points out. Look at Romans chapter 14. Ready? Look at verse 19. Romans chapter 14 and look at verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherein one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Please notice verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. He's talking about older Christians and younger Christians. The gist of the chapter is, you're going to stand before God as an individual. We're not going to stand as a group. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Verse 10, we must all give an account of ourselves before God. Verse 10, the whole gist of the chapter is this. If you've been saved for 5 months or under 5 years, the Christians who've been saved a long time need to be patient with those who've been saved a little bit of time. Everybody needs a gracious example. I had one, the man that picked me up for church when I used to go and I got saved and started going to church, Brother Hart. We support him, praise the Lord, as a missionary. Ask him about me sometime. When Brother Nash got saved, did he get everything all at once? No, Brother Nash did not. I remember one time he came to my room. I had the contemporary Christian rock music playing, and I was, hey, he goes, you ready for church? And I said, hey, you got to listen to this. Whatever it was. I remember Brother Hart, he just stood there at the door. He didn't say, shut that hellish music off. What's wrong with you? Get right with God. Jim just said after the song played, he said, you ready now? Let's get in the truck. You know what he was with me? He was patient. I was a young Christian, and Romans 14 says, be careful that you aren't so impatient with a young Christian that they stumble or that they're offended. Handle the young Christians with grace and patience and love and pray for them. If somebody's doing something wrong, think about it. Have they been saved for just a little bit? Then they don't need you giving them a Bible study about what's wrong in their life unless they ask. And even then, you probably should say something along the lines of, hey, why don't you ask preacher? If you aren't careful, look, I've been in the ministry long enough to know when somebody's struggling with drugs, they either want help or they don't. And if they do, they got it. But if they don't want help, a 15 Bible verse study on drugs and what's wrong with it is not going to help them. They need prayer. Amen. They need your love. They need your grace. I'm not telling you it's okay to sin. I'm just telling you, Christian, don't make somebody stumble because you pushed them or you mishandled them and you didn't take into account. Okay, look, that's Romans chapter 14, right? Look at 1 Corinthians verse chapter 8. Go over to the next book. Watch this. Paul said, I should be hard to offend. And I should understand that offenses come when truth is presented. Also, in the verse, I should be careful not to offend other people, especially young Christians. Especially young Christians. Now, watch this. That doesn't cause me... I'm glad for our church has led people to the Lord. Our church is watching people grow in the Lord. But there's truths that some of you have heard, and there's other truths that I'm preaching some have never heard. Be patient with them. Love them and help.
Well, they ought to know.
They don't know. How are they supposed to grow if somebody doesn't help them and encourage them? Look at 1 Corinthians 8. Look at verse number 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, notice it carefully, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. The world's going to get offended at me, but I should be careful how I handle other Christians. And he said, if eating something would offend somebody in the church, he said, you'll never see me eat it again until we get to heaven. Amen? That's how much we should love and care and take other people into consideration and work at not offending. Everybody see how you handle? Look, everybody in church, I learned from Pastor Owens, if you'll just handle people like they're on the verge of breaking, just be careful. Be careful with everybody. Brother Hiles used to have a statement, be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard day. Just be good to everybody. Be gentle with everybody.
Well, they ought to be able to.
I know. You can do that as you get close to people and you enjoy friendship, but you ought to be gentle and treat everybody with gloves of velvet. Okay, watch this. You can't stop people from offending you, but you can make sure you respond correctly. You can't stop people from hurting you, but you can make sure you don't hurt you by making sure you do what you're supposed to do. Go to Matthew 18. Let's look at just a couple more spaces. Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 6. Jesus is teaching about being offended. Matthew chapter 18, verse 6. Notice how many times the word offend and offenses are mentioned. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. So Jesus tells us, he's teaching on it. Skip down to verse 15. Watch this. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I'll let you just read the rest of the story. But the first law that Jesus laid down, when somebody offends you, you're not supposed to go on the internet about it to anybody. And if you tell somebody else before you tell the person that wronged you, that's a sin. Somebody hurt me, so I'm going to get somebody to agree with me. They mistreated me, wouldn't you say? It's amazing to me. You're not supposed to tell anybody about anybody who offended you. But on this day of Facebook and Instagram and Periscope, and then it just goes on and on, blah, 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 blah. Nobody should know who offended you except the person who offended you. I had somebody call me, and I appreciate it so much. That person's in heaven now. This was just last year. They said, Brother Nash, I heard you've changed your position on the King James Bible and that you're a liberal preacher now. I said, no. I said, you can look on the website at the sermons. I said, I don't think I'm a liberal. He said, and this is what he said. He said, I didn't think so. He said, I've known you too long. He said, I really appreciate that. And I said, you know what I appreciate about you? I said, you didn't take somebody's word for it. You called me and asked me. I said, thank you. Thank you. And if somebody offends you, the only person that's supposed to know about it is that person. Jesus said so. And if anybody else does, you're way out of line with your media. And it needs to probably be shut off, pull the plug, do whatever you need to do, bomb the computer, I don't care. Notice here, that's Matthew, go to Luke chapter 17 and notice this, and then I'm going to give you a couple points and look at Luke chapter 17. There is so much in the Bible about offending and offenders and being offended and how you handle it. It is a huge issue from start to finish. You could do another part. Tonight's the last time you'll hear me on this for a while. But look at verse number 1, Luke 17, 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Notice verse 4, very strong wording. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, I wish you'd underline the last 4 words, thou shalt forgive him. Thou shalt forgive him. Strong. And if you don't, you're sinning against God. Thou shalt forgive. There's one way you forgive. Nobody has ever wronged you as much as you wronged Jesus. You say, but to get over, they owe me money. Money is such a big divider. You don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. All you need to know is you need to go back to the cross and you need to remember what Jesus died for you. And you forgive others by first remembering that you're forgiven. And if God could forgive you of everything, you can forgive of that. It's not easy. Probably take you a couple of days, but you can do it. Thou shalt forgive. Let's talk about just one more thing here. I want to go in a couple things. Number one, so you should talk to them. God told us to. You should encourage them not to hold on to that chip on their shoulder. Show them about the danger of the cancer of bitterness and warn them that it'll destroy them. Beg, plead, and pray with them to get rid of their bitterness. But I love that. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'll make a strong statement tonight. Nobody has a right to be offended. Nobody. Think about it. It's a good Bible truth. Nobody. Getting offended is a sin problem. Can I tell you something? Great peace have they which love thy law. We looked at it this morning, Psalm 119, 165. If you're offended over and over and over again, you're telling on yourself. Has it ever occurred to you that the problem is you? When the whole world smells like Limburger cheese, you know what I mean? When the whole world stinks? Have you ever considered it might be under your nose? Have you ever noticed every conflict you're in, there's one common denominator? You. Then you might want to change how you're dealing with people. Maybe the problem is you're the one that's harsh. I'll say it again. When you're offended over and over again, you're telling on yourself that you don't love the Bible. Amen? Next, forgive them. And then do your best not to offend people. What can I do then? Tonight, I'll close with this. Love the Bible. God tells us that. Love God's instructions for your life. Great peace have they which love thy law. We covered that this morning. Next, how can you keep from being offended? Be careful what you expect from others. I've had people leave our church because they're disappointed in me. And they had expectations of a pastor that I had no idea. Well, you didn't do this and this. I didn't know I was supposed to do this and this. I'll say, what do you think a pastor should do? Well, a pastor should. Man, they're rattling off stuff to me. I'm like, I had no idea. My list of requirements is 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. If you want to see what God requires me of a pastor, look in the pastoral epistles. But I've had people expect things of me. I had no clue that that's what they were expecting. And they're gone. Do you know why? They had unreasonable expectations. When you have unreasonable expectations of other people, you get offended because you're so easily disappointed. Careful. How about this? Did you know covetous people are offended often because they don't control what they want and they expect to be given to them all the time? How about this? Did you know humility eliminates offenses? You know how it'd be hard to offend? Just have the attitude, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know what I deserve tonight? I deserve a burning hell. Do you know how come I don't have it? Because Jesus saved me and everything I get that's above hell is a bonus. And nobody has mistreated me. Humility repels offenses. Humility will take you a long way in the Christian life. And just humble yourself. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I don't have what I deserve. God's been good to me. I'm blessed. How about this? How do you keep from being offended? Never allow criticism to be taken personally. Have you ever heard this statement? Well, so-and-so was joking around. Here's the danger. But there's truth in every joke. I was like, man, you're on offense waiting to happen. Are you kidding me? Every person I've heard say that has a chip on their shoulder. You mean every joke that's told, what truth did you mean by that joke? Yeah, I was funny, but how are you trying to cut me this time? Where's the knife? I know there's got to be one back there. It's dangerous. I've heard people say, look, I love jokes. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. But if I assumed there is truth in every joke, you got to be kidding me. You're an offense waiting to happen. How do you be hard to offend? Take the joke and roll with it. Quit trying to figure out what they meant by it. Amen? That was in reference to my hair, wasn't it? I mean, it just goes on and on. Christian, be hard to offend. Don't allow any criticism to be taken personally. How about this? How to not be offended? Quit fighting back when someone does try to offend you. If possibly, live peaceable with all men, if at all possible. I'm supposed to try to be peaceable with all men. Just let it go. Let it go. It ain't worth it. Be hard to offend. And finally, when you see offenses coming, have you ever asked the Lord to help you? Sometimes you can see it coming. I mean, it's headed your way. You know the person. You know you're going to get cut. And if you can't avoid the person, have you ever just said, Lord, please help me? And like David, help me not to do something that I'm going to regret for the rest of my life. Everybody needs an Abigail, a defuser, someone to say, consider the source. They treat everybody that way. Don't you lose it because they lost it. Amen. How do you handle offenses? The Bible's full of beautiful truths that help us live with ourselves. Amen. And live a happy, blessed, gratefully peaceful life. I hope the message is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please, I thank you. I know this truth, Lord. Lord, I know how you've helped me.
Some folks are never satisfied and always are complaining. They live to be offended by what people are saying. They say that it's the teacher's fault when their kids' grades are failing, and blame the coach when their son's on the bench instead of playing. To be true, if they die to self and live for Christ, it'll change their attitude. Die each day, you won't get mad. 'Cause dead people can't get offended. Political correctness is in the church house too. Some folks won't crucify the flesh or die to self, it's true. They're always scoping out the church to find someone to sue. They'll call their lawyer on the phone from try to get their way. If you die each day, you